This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A major change at the world's 14th biggest publicly traded company. GE CEO Jeff Immelt is stepping down. He'll be replaced by John Flannery, the current president of GE Healthcare. Now, Immelt has led the company for 16 years, and here he is speaking today to GE employees.
16 years is a long time to run this company. Even though I love you all dearly, it's long enough. And change is good.
And Immelt himself led GE through quite a period of change through the financial crisis. He also oversaw the sale of GE Capital and invested in a digital transformation of the company, most notably by moving GE World Headquarters to Boston last year. Well, joining us now with more is Asma Khalid. She heads Bostonomics, WBUR's business and technology team. Hello, Asma.
Hey, Meghna.
Okay, so first of all, Immelt, as I read the list of things he's done, he's credited with really remaking GE, but there's also been a lot of pressure on him to step down. I mean, financial performance-wise?
Yeah, you know, Meghna, it is really kind of a mixed bag. I mean, and to be fair, I mean, Immelt didn't exactly become CEO at the easiest moment in history. I mean, he literally took over this company 5 days before the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And you know, in a chat today with employees, he talked about his tenure at the company and told his staff that in his mind, GE has become more resilient over the past 16 years.
I got this job in 2001, and for really, I'd say all of the country, or certainly all of American business, we lived in a time period of complete certainty, economic perfection, right? And then we woke up and we faced Enron and the 9/11 tragedy and the power bubble and a time period of just disruption and change.
And so, Meghna, he talked about the 90s being just this era, right, of complete sort of economic perfection. And then he was thrust into this sort of volatile world, right, where not only did he sort of experience the recession and whatnot, but there was also a lot of digital transformation during that time period. And it is true that he shepherded the company through these rather turbulent times. But as you suggested, you know, there are persistent questions about financial profitability for GE.
Okay, so let's talk more about that, because as I said at the top here, it's also still, according to Forbes, the 14th biggest publicly traded company in the world. So what do we mean by
Meghna, it is. It's this giant of a company, right? It's been around for 125 years. And so it's got this reputation. And when you think about what makes GE unique, and we heard this today, even in some of the conference calls that I was listening to, that it's this quest for innovation, whether that meant the light bulb or, you know, in current times, whether that means an MRI machine. But some investors would say that GE has grown too big, that it's this conglomerate that now needs to be broken up. And during the financial crisis, we saw how much of GE was sort of tied, particularly through GE Capital, was kind of tethered to the banking system. And I would say that one way that you sort of assess, right, a company's financial profitability is to look at GE's stock price. And I would say, you know, you can look at what the Dow Jones Industrial Average has done over this period in time. And Meghna, I want to say I did some calculations. It looked like it was up over 120% during this time frame. Just overall, GE has underperformed sort of exponentially during this time period compared to the market.
Right, right. I mean, you and I, just during the newscast, we were looking at the numbers here specifically. I've got some specific numbers for those finance heads out there that on September 8th, 2001, when Jeff Immelt took over, or the day after he took over, GE's share price was $39.35 at the close of trading that day. Just last Friday, it was $27.94. So indeed, an overall slight drop in over his 16-year tenure. But as you pointed out, there's been incredible ups and downs, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but what about the new CEO, John Flannery? What are we to expect from him?
Well, Meghna, he's really a private equity guy. He went to the Wharton School of Business at Penn, and he joined GE 30 years ago. He actually started out at GE Capital. What's interesting to me is that he's had a lot of experience working around the globe, Latin America, East Asia, India. And one of the board members today explained that in choosing the new CEO, they were really looking for a global person. And that's, you know, sort of what they found attractive about John. The past few years, he's been in charge of GE Healthcare, and he talked about that being a possible area of growth, particularly with digital innovation. He also did point out that he will be moving to Boston, and he claims to be a Red Sox fan. But Meghna, I also, that last line, I sort of am also like, well, you're also a businessman.
Exactly. And so what about how history is going to judge Jeff Immelt?
You know, Meghna, I don't know if I want to be that person to make that calculation, right? I will say that if you look at the company's stock price, it hasn't been strong, right? You know, the Wall Street Journal is reporting today that among the current companies on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, during the time frame that Immelt was in charge, from 2001 to 2017, GE had the worst performance. And to be fair, there are some companies that are no longer a part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. But some analysts would actually make the case that Immelt has actually helped reposition the company, that he's actually leaving a GE that is less vulnerable than the one that he inherited. And John Flannery, the new CEO, seems to agree. He spoke about that today.
I have just tremendous respect for Jeff. I've had the privilege of working under his leadership for directly for 16 years and have known him for much longer. He's transformed the company. I think in many ways people underappreciate the changes that have been he's made to the company to simplify it, to strengthen the portfolio, and frankly the courage it took to make a number of those decisions, including things like exiting GE Capital.
So nice words there from Flannery for his predecessor, Jeff Immelt. But just to circle back to something you were saying earlier about Flannery being being a private equity guy, I mean, did he say specific things in that call today about where he might target continuing GE's transformation and how?
Well, Meg, the one thing that caught my ear a lot is that both on a call with investors as well as in an employee conversation that was broadcast, he said that he intends to look at the company's entire portfolio.
I want to start with a fresh look around the company overall. And I think with a sense of urgency. So there's so many things we do well and have always done well. And there's clearly some areas we need to improve on and improve on, I think, quickly. So no one's happy with the stock price right now or some of the cash, you know, pictures that we've had. We know we can be better at those things. I want to focus on those things.
And what exactly that means, Meghna, I'm not entirely sure. But he did say that his focus the next few months is going to be on listening to investors, customers, and employees to try to figure out what's next.
Well, that's Asma Khalid. She leads our business and technology team, Bostonomics. Follow them at Twitter at Bostonomics. That's O-M. IX, right?
Thank you,
Meghna. She's bringing us up to speed on the big news today that GE CEO Jeff Immelt will be stepping down. Asma, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
All right, let's get some more analysis on how Immelt's retirement really fits into that bigger picture of GE, what Asma was telling us there. Here is Jeff Immelt today on the company's Facebook Live video.
We've launched some of the most important new products in our history. We've continued to grow this great global franchise into the future. We've led a digital revolution in a place that we really face the future with great confidence, and we've executed financially.
David McGee is author of Jeff Immelt and the New GE Way, Innovation, Transformation, and Winning in the 21st Century, and he joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. Big day for Boston with a change.
Yeah, it's a really big day. Okay, so first of all, give us your sense as to what this means for GE. I mean, you've written about Immelt, you've looked at his tenure for a long time. How big is this for the company?
It's big because this is there's a new direction coming, and I think Flannery said we'll move fast in making some analysis, and essentially GE operates with the, if you look at their history over 100 years, there haven't been many CEOs, there's not many leaders, and they really get a long rope when they take that job, and they're expected to take the long view of delivering shareholder value. If that means restructuring a company, if that means, you know, whatever direction they need to go in, Jeff Immelt had to take the long view on really solidifying the company's foundation because it had gotten very shaky. At the moment he's handing over the reins, what it means is Flannery's charge is get the return for shareholders.
Can I just jump in here?
One clear charge.
Yeah, so David, I want to jump in here because I think what you're saying is so extraordinarily important. I mean, Jeff Immelt, as CEO, had to ride the worst ups and downs that his company and the market have seen, you know, since the Great Depression. As you said, his job was to shore up the foundations of GE. I mean, in a way, is he being pushed out or is he being asked to step down or what? Because it seems like he did his job. And now it's like all the focus is going to be on shareholder value.
Right. Well, people, investors do like to get their return. And, you know, he pushed out and him leaving by choice, it's really a combination of factors. He's planned on leaving. He never planned on doing more than 20 years ever. And he's it's been clear that the company was looking at a succession plan for the last couple of years. So what happened now is, in 2017, as the stock market has got a little bit of hint of the 1990s again, mm-hmm. with this kind of go-go sense, and there's GE not responding stock-wise at all, this 6 months in these go-go, you know, stock market environment for equities pretty much just escalated. So he was leaving anyway. He was already on the back end of his tenure. If the stock was really performing and the earnings were performing right now, he would probably ride it out another year or two. So it just kind of moved it up a little bit.
Yeah, I take your point. I mean, the numbers do tell a kind of a dour tale, right? The GE stock rose, what, 11%? During Immel's tenure, but the overall market up more than almost 120%. But, you know, there are lots of ways to deliver shareholder value, right? You don't necessarily have to strengthen the company and deliver shareholder, but you can still deliver shareholder value. I mean, I wonder what this means specifically for GE as a business. It wants to be a leader in what Immel was calling a digital industrialization of the company.
One problem I've seen is that investors as a whole haven't completely understood what GE is doing. I mean, he can meet with analysts and they get it, but when you have multiple focuses like you do at a conglomerate like this, you really better be spinning off massive amounts of cash. We saw stocks get stagnant in companies like Walmart that weren't really going anywhere. And Walmart stock didn't start moving again until they really convinced Wall Street that they were a technology company and going head-to-head against Amazon. I think GE's had a hard time telling that story. They're in healthcare. They're in jet engines. People just aren't really sure what they are. And if you're going to be that, you'd better spin off just surprising, delightful amounts of cash. Jack Welch had a vehicle to do that. It was called the financial arm, GE
right.
Capital.
No, continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you because I think you're making a good point. He had that at the time, and he did look to GE Capital to help keep shareholders happy. And that, of course, is one of the things that Immel had to let go of.
That's right. You know, nothing is usually ever as bad as it appears, and nothing is usually as good as it appears either. And I think history has revealed that Jack Welch was operating in a different environment. He was able to use GE Capital to, I don't want to say distort as in he was doing something wrong. It's just the way games were played a little bit more in that day. They had favorable things happening of exchange rates in real estate between continents. You had a lot of currency ways that you could exploit, and because they were a global business, GE was able to use its capital arm when it really worked to its advantage to deliver some delights in its earnings reports. Every quarter they could just make some shift or move some giant piece of real estate, get some currency valuation advantage, and it was really easy to surprise and delight. And then when Jeff inherited it, it not only couldn't deliver the surprise and the delight, it was like an 8 million pound anvil on his back that he had to shed quick.
Right. I mean, you keep coming to this point, which in my view is so very important because, you know, I think a lot of people hearing this are saying, well, great. The focus on shareholder value for GE means we're going to be seeing a lot of financial shell games going on, whereas what GE was doing or trying to do under Immel, and I'm not lionizing him here, but
sure.
It's like actually be a company that makes stuff for the 21st century.
Right. I think that what you'll see with Flannery, he does have to move fast. I think a lot of his initial actions will be divesting some things that are a drag, and maybe looking at does it have higher value if some parts are maybe focuses, you know, you get an industrial focus and maybe healthcare is split off. I mean, those are some of the hard questions he's going to ask, but you could do those kind of thing in today's environment with a high-flying stock market that could deliver value that aren't having to go back to tricks of smoke and mirrors and finance.
Okay. I suppose, forgive me if I maintain a healthy shred of skepticism. We've just been through too many ups and downs here as a company and as an economy. Now, a little bit earlier today, there was a blip. There was a moment where people were talking about, you know, could a breakup of GE be on the horizon? Do you see that as any kind of possibility?
I do think it's a possibility, because I think right now, if you were to take the most valuable parts of GE and stand them on their own, and if you look at a lot of the talent the company has, middle management up, shareholder value would absolutely be returned. And that was not to be Jeff's – he'd done his work in helping the company get its foundation. I'll give you a little hint of how this goes. It was a CEO of GE by the name of Reginald Jones. And most people in America don't know the name Reg Jones. He's got a beautiful obit online you can still find in the New York Times. But Reg Jones was the CEO of GE for 9 years until 1981. And under Reg Jones, the GE stock declined 21%. Under his 9 years. But what Reg Jones did in that 9 years was he transformed the company. He made it much more global. He really got its foundation set. And then Jack Welch took over. And a lot of things happened in a wonderful, perfect storm, including some things on the financial end. And Jack Welch had the benefit of a lot of what Reg Jones had done. I think Flannery has the same opportunity to take some of this foundation and find different ways to make it work for the shareholders' benefit.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that this cycle of building the company and making stuff and then swinging towards making money, that it can one day like kind of come together and you can make stuff and make money at the same time. I got one last question for you, David McGee. This has been really interesting. Now, when you wrote your book, Jeff Immelt and the New GE Way, you had access to almost all of GE's leadership, right?
I did, except I didn't talk to one person, Flannery.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've been talking a lot about what shareholders think of of Immelt's tenure, but what about GE employees themselves or even the high-level, the C-suite folks you talked to? What did they make of Immelt as a CEO?
Oh, I think the respect in GE runs very deep. They understand the long haul. That does not mean they're not frustrated with the stock price, because they'd all like to retire and see their pensions deliver and stock options that they get. But the respect for Jeff Immelt runs very, very deep. Now, it's like being a pastor of a wonderful church. There still comes a time where it's best to leave, because fresh leadership can make a difference. And so Jeff is pushing himself out to a degree, because he understands that, and I think his close allies inside the company, everybody understands his mark on the company has been more profound than people may realize at the moment, and Flannery can help capitalize that in the next couple of years. But history will show Jeff guided GE through a very, very difficult period.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say that his retirement package is probably pretty good.
You're exactly right. He's bought a lot of stock. Now he's going to be cheering for the shareholder value.
Well, David McGee is author of Jeff Immelt and the New GE Way, Innovation, Transformation, and Winning in the 21st Century. David McGee, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.